You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Carrie the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
This is James Averre from Hellstar and Sabbath Judas Sabbath. Rock out with your geek out.
Welcome, my friends, to episode number 187 of... reminded me of the cop code all of a sudden. I'm like, whoa. 187.
You want to restart?
No. Why would I want to restart? Where are you going? What are you doing? We're recording, dude.
He's done with this.
He's like, fuck this, I'm out. I'm going to have to pull a 187 on you, George. Welcome again to episode number 187 of the Metal Geeks Podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Carrie the Metal Geek, along with...
Brutal Dave here.
What's up, Brutal Dave? And...
George motherfucking Tripsis.
And as well, we have our very special recurring guest, almost really sort of a co-host at this point.
Yeah, let's just call it what it is.
He's just our quarantine co-host. That's what it is.
I'm the quarantine co-host. That's right. That works.
How are you doing, sir?
I have a nickname now. I'm doing good, man. How are you?
I'm all right. We actually physically distanced and saw each other today at lunch.
What?
What?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, I had a virtual lunch together.
We had a real lunch together outside and about 8 feet away from each other. Yep. Yeah.
Oh, where at?
Blaze Pizza.
Yeah, the one in Sugarland, which is really cool. It has a patio, nice patio on the back, right next to a retention pond, and you're able to physically distance until like.
Until a bunch of assholes showed up and started sitting as close as they could to us, so we had to leave.
I know. They're like, okay, we're going to sit at this table right next to you. I'm like, dude, you know there's other tables over in the corner. Why are you next to us?
Interesting. So they wanted to come talk to you.
Maybe. So we were pretty much done at that point, but it's okay.
Yeah. It was still annoying.
How was it like to see each other, even though it was afar? That's like your first, like, human interaction with your friends in a long time. How was it? What was it like?
It was great. Yeah, well, I mean,
that was code for he didn't give a shit.
I've done it before. We've met some other friends at a dog park, but we've all stayed physically distant from each other. You know, no touching, no hand holding, none of that stuff.
No kissing,
or
licking.
Or licking. It is a dog park, so there is licking going on.
Wow.
That was a really weird thing to say in that context.
Well, it's true. Maybe not by on my end, but...
Carrie's been in the house for a long time, guys.
I have. yes. So, I guess we have... it's getting into the Halloween spirit around here. It's horror movie time for you guys more than me. So, one of the things I wanted to talk about tonight during our topic is... movies that I have never seen and I should fucking see. So I know some of you guys have come up with a list of stuff that I should be watching, and I'm going to try to hit as many of those during this this month as I can. So
okay,
why limit yourself to October, man? Horror movies are for year round.
I've been watching a little bit more and more here and there. I finally, you know, like I finally watched The Shining and Jaws. So
I'm glad you did, because I mean those are both.
It took you 40-something classics.
45.
To years. Be fair, you're not nearly as bad as George's and my other co-host Andy, but
was that?
You are a little behind. Andy's only seen about 6 movies in his entire life, and 3 of them were Back to the Future 3.
No,
so
that makes sense, right?
He's a weird guy.
The only one he's seen, though, that's the problem.
He hasn't seen the first two.
Future 3.
Like, oh, what?
It's like the one with the train, so I watched the one with the train over and over again.
That's very weird.
It's extremely weird.
You need to watch the other two to get the context of the third one, man. Come on.
And on top of that, the third one's the absolute worst.
Yeah, we've had this conversation with him many times.
Okay, now that we're speaking of it, what is your favorite Back to the Future film?
One.
Okay.
Yeah.
One, two, and three.
I think one for me too.
Yeah, and then two, and then three.
Yeah. In sequential order.
That makes sense that way, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think one is the strongest, and two is the has the most spectacle because of all the special effects.
Yeah,
but
the futuristic story is
just wacky as shit in the second one, and like it's fun, but it's so frenetic, the whole thing.
That's very true.
It's like Bogus Journey.
It's always a fun watch, though.
Is it the Empire Strikes Back of the Back to the Future trilogy?
No.
That's Return of the part three.
You're comparing like one of the top three sequels of all time to like an okay sequel. You know, I mean, most people consider Empire to be the best Star Wars movie. You know, yeah,
I do know.
And then probably Empire's number two, but I mean, other people would put it as their first for sure.
I'm going to have to agree with you probably on Terminator 2.
Yep.
Certainly a sequel that supersedes the original by far.
It's the best Terminator movie out of any of them.
I agree. Yeah, Dark Fate's pretty close, but T2 is just my favorite movie of all time. I love that movie.
We were just talking about that recently. I actually saw that in the theater. Loved it. Me and my buddy Scott, who today is actually his birthday, they're recording. My parents dropped us off at the movie theaters to see T2. We didn't know what we were getting into.
Wow.
We were probably, maybe 14, 15 when it came out. Probably 15-ish. Had a great time. And that's the time we used to be dropped off at the theaters, and we'd pay for like a PG movie and we'd go see like an R-rated movie instead.
What?
You could do that back then. Come on.
I remember back in the day where you pay for one movie and just see multiple movies.
Oh, you'd stay the whole day, dude.
Yeah.
I would do it.
I think we're all kind of guilty of that.
Yeah.
Can't do that anymore, especially...
We're the reason why the movie theater is failing now.
That's why.
Well, I think it's coronavirus, actually.
Well, before coronavirus, it was assigned seating.
We were the reasons it was failing.
Gotcha.
So before coronavirus, it was the assigned seating. You couldn't do that anymore, you know?
Yeah.
It depends on the theater, how lazy their management is. You can still do it.
You find an empty enough room.
That's true.
You know,
I would be. It'd be my luck where I'd find like it'd be like one other person in the theater, and I'd pick a seat, and that'd be like the one seat somebody else that paid for to come into, and then we get into an argument about it.
I don't remember what movie we were watching, but it was one of. It was like a family movie because we had the kids with us and everything. This was before the world ended, and. So it was some family friendly movie, and like it was one of those assigned seatings with the nice recliners and all that shit. And like halfway through the movie, this like 60-year-old guy comes in and starts walking down our row. The theater's packed because it was like new release. Everything's full. This guy starts coming down the row like halfway through the movie, and he stops where our friend Jeff is sitting, and he goes, "Hey, you're in my seat."
Jeff's not somebody you want to fuck with either. He'd be like, "What?"
He's very quiet and very non-confrontational, but he's also enormous and will mess you up if needed. But like this guy, he's like, "Hey, you're in my seat." And Jeff's like, "I'm assure you I'm not in your seat." And the guy starts arguing with him. "No, you're in my seat. You need to get out." And so Jeff pulls out his ticket and shows it to him. The guy pulls out his ticket and shows it to Jeff, and Jeff goes, "That's the wrong movie. That's the wrong theater." the guy, it was the wrong time. It was everything was wrong. Every aspect of it was wrong. But this guy was like determined that this guy was sitting in his seat. It's like, dude, there's a movie going on behind you right now that's halfway through, and it's not that movie.
Embarrassing story. I actually did that one time. I went into the wrong... It was before a movie started. I went into the wrong theater. And I was like, "Oh, you guys are in my seat." And then we looked at ourselves. I'm like, "Oh, shit, I'm in the wrong theater. Never mind. Sorry about that."
Before the movie starts, I can I can see that. But, like, this guy missed every single clue.
Dude, the credits are rolling. You've missed the entire movie. What are you doing?
I mean, we could do an entire episode just on bad movie experiences, Carrie. You and I have gone to see so many movies together, and it never fails. It's like there's always some moron that has to interfere with our experience.
I very rarely had bad experiences.
Well, you go to the Alamo a lot, so people are very courteous there.
They're paying more for their tickets there, so they actually want to be there to watch the movie. Carrie and I go to AMC, which for the price is fine, but you get what you get.
Yeah. Like last year when I saw the Shining sequel, I can't think of the name of it now.
Dr. Sleep.
Thank you. Like halfway or maybe like 45, 50 minutes into the movie, the fire started in the building. Like they burnt the popcorn and it started a fire. So they had to evacuate the whole building. I'm like, oh, that was fun.
Or what about the time we went and saw Dark Fate? And I almost murdered the kid that was sitting next to me because he would not shut the fuck up through the whole movie.
I remember that kid.
That's always my movie encounter, is me having to tell somebody to shut the fuck up.
Or people on their goddamn phones during the middle of a movie.
Yeah.
Get off.
When The Witch was in theaters, y'all know that's like one of my favorite movies. And we were at the theater trying to watch it. And if you recall, that movie's very quiet.
Yeah.
Silence is and quiet is a major part of that movie. There was a woman, the seat to my left was empty, but the next seat from that, there was a woman sitting there. And through the entire movie, the popcorn piece that she needed to eat was at the bottom of the bag every time. Every time.
That's the best popcorn, man.
Well, I guess she thought so too. Every time she went in for popcorn, she's going to the bottom all the way.
I mean,
I'm like,
are you get people that buy like the bag of candy and it takes them like 20 minutes to try to open it?
To open it?
Would you fucking hand it to me? I'll open it for you.
You ever had the ones that are doing it? They're struggling with it and they rip it open and they go every direction and they like hit you in the head and land in your drink and shit. I've had that happen. The worst experience I ever had, I was sitting next to this woman, her and her husband were watching a movie, and it was like I think it was Crawl, maybe. It was definitely like something in that era. It's a horror movie that had some funny elements in places.
You say Crawl?
Crawl.
Oh, Crawl.
The alligator movie.
Yeah, okay.
Every single time something even mildly amusing happened on screen, I mean, it would be something that would be like, ha, you know, she would laugh as raucously as possible, and she would start every single laugh by spitting. She would be like, and I was sitting right next to her, so she kept spitting on my arm over and fucking over again, and I was like, I was infuriated.
And people wonder where the coronavirus came from.
Oh my god.
It's people in movie theaters, basically. God.
All right.
So, got a question for you guys.
Us missing people, by the way. Us
bitching
about this. This is us missing being able to go out and deal with these assholes.
Dealing with assholes brings you actually closer to people.
Well, no, but it definitely gives you a lot of stories to talk about. You know, if you're not out in the world doing shit, you don't have anything to talk about.
Question for you guys. Have you guys ever pre-ordered something?
All the time.
George? Well,
rarely.
I pre-ordered movies sometimes, but right. I only do that digitally stuff.
Have you ever pre-ordered an album?
No.
Yeah.
Okay. I did recently. So back in June when they took pre-orders for the new Arion album, Transitus, I went online 7 o'clock in the morning when they went available, pre-ordered the earbook, the limited edition 4 CD, DVD, earbook, and the vinyl, right? The album came out the week before last. Never got an update what was going on with my order. The vinyl or the earbook, it turns out they wound up sending an email to everybody that due to, what did they say? It was errors that they don't have enough earbooks to cover everybody that pre-ordered. And it turns out what they did is, I will say there's two different mascot labels. There's one in America and one in Europe, right? The one in Europe, everybody got their stuff perfectly fine. The one in America, they hired this third party company to do all the delivery, and they're the ones who fucked up. They sent everybody that ordered just the regular 2 CD version of the album, the limited edition earbooks. And they actually sent email to these people, hey, we've made a mistake. Can you send that back to us so we can send it to the right people?
Lol, no.
What? Okay, number one, there's two things wrong with that. Number one, there's a law that says if a company accidentally sends you something, you can keep it. You do not have to send it back. Yeah. That's on them. They have to make up for it. And number two, sorry, in this, you know, living with COVID and everything, I don't want somebody's used version of this. You don't know. They're not going to be keep taking the stuff, putting them in quarantine or whatever they have to do. They're just probably, you know, it's very worrisome to me, you know? So I don't know if they're going to be able to fulfill for real. That was hard to say, fulfill for real. But they did send another email out saying, since, you know, everybody that's been affected by this, we are going to send you a tote bag full of autographed goodies and stuff like that. So that doesn't make up for not getting the album. And even I went double check. They still haven't shipped the vinyl for me, too. Like, is it because I ordered at the same time? I don't know. But luckily, I found the limited edition yearbook in a local store, and I actually went and picked it up locally just in case they're not going to send me one. It's not autographed or anything, but what are you going to do?
Yeah.
And if they don't wind up sending all, the only thing I can really do is, you know, contact my credit card company and, you know, tell them what happened and get my money back. You know what I mean?
I'd probably do that anyways.
It's not a bad idea.
Since you already got what you wanted, I would probably do that.
Yeah, I'm going to wait for them to try to make things right a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
See what they can do. But it's just, I've never heard of that happening before, ever.
Where?
I mean, mistakes happen. I mean, I've had things go wrong before in my pre-orders. And so, like, a good example, Erica ordered... when Cuphead first came out, yeah. Eric ordered the very first exclusive MDHR Cuphead cup and mug, and they were limited edition to like 200 pieces or something. The shipment came in from China because they were supposed to be here as my Christmas present that first year we were dating. Shipment came in from China, and when they opened up the shipping crate, all of them had collapsed on top of each other, and like 85% of the product was destroyed.
Oy.
So they had to reorder the entire batch. They sent out the 15% that wasn't destroyed or whatever, but everybody else had to wait, you know, and it took like another year almost for them to actually show up.
Wow.
But, you know, on the flip side of that, she paid like $120 for them, and they're worth almost $1,000 now because they're so rare, and so exclusive. So, I mean, sometimes it works out in your favor when stuff like that goes wrong. But, in general, as long as the company's willing to do something to make up for it, we got some like free plushes, like they threw in like some extra Cuphead stuff with it when they shipped it to us. So, I mean, they did try to make up for it a little bit, but
I'm sure they're going to try to make it right. You know, it's just a weird situation. I was really upset the first night. I mean, I'm still upset, but not as, you know, I'm not like, you know, super pissed off or anything. It's just, you know, you pay for something you want, you know, on an autographed copy of it. That's what you paid for. You paid extra for it. You know what I mean? Basically.
Yeah, that's very true.
Here's the item here. It's like one of those big earbooks. It's bigger than my head. Awesome album, if you haven't heard it yet. Everyone, go out and check it out. Cammy Gilbert from Oceans of Slumber, local vocalist to Houston. Phenomenal on this album. Tommy Karavik from is pretty great. Dee Snider's on it. Joe Satriani does a solo on it. It's really good stuff.
Cool.
Not as... sci-fi is most of those stuff. It's more of a horror story, actually. Like a it's very interesting. It's more of a rock opera than just the normal stuff that he does, like opera, like an opera type storyline. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty cool. It's streaming on Spotify and all those places. So please check it out.
Yeah,
and just don't order from the company.
Yeah, just don't order from them.
And of course, this has nothing to do with Aryan. He made an apology, you know, post and stuff like that. And it's not on him. It was on, I mean, yes, it's on the record label, but it was the company at the record label paid to actually do the shipments. You know what I mean?
No, it's totally on him.
No, it's not. All right. So what have you guys been watching?
Stuff and things and movies and shit.
Thank you for the clarification. I appreciate it.
You're quite welcome.
Well, I'm doing the 31 days of Halloween. Every year for Halloween, Erica and I pick out 31 movies to watch, and we watch at least one a night. So we're on day four now. So we've seen three movies so far. The first two were okay. The third one was pretty good. Let me see. Hang on.
The first two that you watched?
So the first two we watched were Fantasy Island, the Blumhouse movie, horror twist on the old Fantasy Island.
Is it
the Boss the Plane?
Yes.
TV show?
Yeah. So are you guys going to watch it? You have any interest in seeing it?
I might.
Zero. Okay.
It's not good. I mean, I gave it like a C rating. Erica gave it a D, and I pretty much gave it a C rating because it made me laugh one time. There's a joke at the very end of the movie that I feel like was the entire purpose behind the movie's existence.
Is it supposed to be a comedy, or is it?
No, it's a straight horror movie. They try to make it very Fantasy Island-esque, like everybody gets what they want and they're living out their fantasy, but then all of a sudden it turns dark and evil, and like there's a couple twists.
Is Charo in it?
No.
Oh, well.
Do they say Boss the Plane?
No, but they do reference Tattoo, and Tattoo is actually part of the joke that I'm referencing.
Is Tattoo not in it?
I can't really tell you about spoiling the movie. I mean,
is Mr. Who's the owner of the island? What's his name?
It's Michael Pena, who I'm not a huge fan of either. So the movie just, I don't know. It was okay. I wouldn't recommend watching it. There's way better things to watch. And then day two, we watched The Abominable Dr. Fibes, which is a Vincent Price movie.
It's not the silent film version of that movie then.
No. It's the one where basically his wife was killed during an operation. Mm. And so he decides to get revenge on all of the doctors and nurses that worked on her surgery.
It's a great Misfits song too.
He decides to do it with by using the ancient plagues of Egypt. So each one dies in a way that's related to the plagues.
Are you talking about like Passover?
Like
the Passover plagues, like the locust and the...
Yeah, the locust and the rats and darkness and, you know, like everything. Everything's in there. Death of the firstborn. Wow. So all the plagues of Egypt are methods that he uses to kill the doctors.
I grew up being scared of that shit.
And, it's...
And then I had matzah.
It's not the best Vincent Price movie I've ever seen, but like all Vincent Price movies are pretty good.
Yeah.
So it's
I'll give you Vincent Price is almost always enjoyable to
watch.
That's
true. That's a better way to put it. Vincent Price is excellent in this as always. But it's an okay movie. It's okay. I gave it a B. Erica gave it a C+. You know, it's not the best Vincent Price movie, but it is a fun watch. And then last night we watched Antebellum. Which is a new Amazon Prime movie you can rent.
That's
a pay full price. That was at $20 to watch that, right?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, sure. That's what happened. but it's a phenomenal movie. It has a lot to say about modern race relations and the history of America versus the present of America. Hmm. And all of it's kind of told through a very horrifying lens.
I heard it's trying really hard to capitalize on the whole Get Out format or whatever, but it's kind of okay. It's what I've read.
It does have some similarities to Get Out, but I wouldn't say that it's taking straight from Get Out. It's a bit different. But I mean, it's the music and the cinematography are just phenomenal throughout it, and I really enjoyed it. But Erica and I both gave it an A, so that one's definitely one worth checking out.
What about you, Dave? Have you been watching any movies?
Yeah, we've been getting in the spirit. Been watching some kind of like classic favorites with the kids. Like we've had them watch the Raul Julia Addams Family movies.
Those are great.
Those are some of my all-time favorites. I love those movies. Did that and... we've also been getting into like the classic horror thing. We usually are watching, you know, like those old Vincent Price and Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee and all those old
Hammer films and all that.
Some of those, yeah. I watch
instead of those Hammer horror films.
What'd you say?
Like the famous Hammer films that came out in the 50s and 60s?
70s, 60s and 70s, a lot of them, yeah.
Yeah, so they're going to re-release that in a big box set pretty soon.
Sweet. Yeah, that sounds cool. Like a thing I might get. But yeah, I watched The Skull with Peter Cushing, which was actually kind of fun. But we've been actually, my wife and I have been sitting on our back porch in the evenings. It's been really nice outside.
Yeah.
And we've been listening to old radio plays from Suspense Stories, Vincent Price, a lot of them. And then there were some, a Peter Lorre story that we listened to.
Where do you find those?
On YouTube. Yeah. And those have actually been a lot of fun. Some of them are, God, they're so hokey.
What do you expect?
Oh, exactly that. We expected exactly that. But it's been fun. Again, Price is always fun to either watch or listen to.
Yeah.
He actually recorded some full-length albums back in the late 60s and into the 70s where he tells ghost stories, or there's an album where he talks about witches and witchcraft and all this kind of stuff. They're a lot of fun.
They just brought him.
You can find them too, as well.
I think they just brought Vincent Price's vocals back to the Phantom Manor at Disney in Paris.
They did a run for briefly, I think. I don't know if it's still running. I think it was only a brief thing.
I mean, yeah. that'd be amazing to hear him do that.
You can find some of that audio on YouTube as well.
Yeah.
You can find. Yeah, if you look for Vincent Price Phantom Manor, you can find some of the stuff that he did.
I know Disneyland Paris isn't supposed to be great or anything, but I definitely want to check that out.
Mm.
Phantom Manor.
Manor is supposed to be really good.
If we're planning to eventually go to like England or something like that, or if we go to Paris, or you know, I've been promised that anytime the next time Arion does like a full concert in the Netherlands, we can go, and that's probably not that far off to go, you know what I mean? I've never been to Europe, so I eventually went together. Now we actually have complete passports right before COVID hit. We got our passports.
Cool.
Good timing.
Yeah, well, and once you're... I have been a long time ago, but yeah, like once you're there on the continent, getting around is easy.
Trains. Where'd you go to?
I did one trip to, I guess my first trip, I spent about a week in Austria.
Oh. Did you turn into the Austrian death machine?
No.
Damn it.
we were in Austria, mostly in Vienna. We spent some time in Salzburg. We went over into Germany for an afternoon and saw the Neuschwanstein Castle.
Nice.
And then I did another trip to the UK. Some years after that, London and Edinburgh. Edinburgh is amazing. I loved that city.
Maybe 2022, that sounds like a good plan, is to hit Europe, you know? I've never been. I would love to go. Yeah, amazing. What have you been watching, George?
So I also try to do the 31 Days of Horror, but I don't really try to plan anything out, per se. I just... kind of look around for either stuff I haven't seen in a long time, or I just find something that I'm in the mood for that, you know, just kind of keeps the theme Halloween-y in a way.
Yeah.
So I watched Netflix's #Alive recently.
It's fun. It's fun, right?
Is it?
It's a lot of fun. I didn't, like, love it as much as I love Train to Busan or anything, but for a zombie flick, it's pretty good. It's not too bad.
Yeah, it's an interesting take on the zombie movie. You know, it's a guy trapped in his apartment when all this happens, when the zombie apocalypse happens, and then he sees a girl who's trapped in an apartment across.
I saw the trailer for it. And,
you know, the two of them try to connect and survive, and it's
pretty fun.
It's pretty fun.
It's worth the, however, what is it, like an hour and 40 minutes that it is or whatever?
I should mention, though, I didn't say this during my segment, but I also watched Monsterland, the new series on Hulu. 100% do not recommend. It fucking sucks. It is terrible. Stay away from it.
It's a misleading title. That's where you got
it. It's a very misleading title, and they talk in the trailer for it about cryptids, and there are a few cryptids sprinkled throughout the series, but honestly, the series is like Black Mirror, but using horror instead of sci-fi, which sounds really cool, but it's not. It's so poorly done, and every single ending just falls flat. They're trying to make you realize that like humans are the real monsters and that these creatures don't really matter. Oh my God, it's a slog. Every episode was worse than the one before it, except for one. There's one pretty good episode, but it's not enough to recommend watching the series.
You're like me, dude. Once you start into something, you have to finish it.
Typically, yeah. I mean, there's not very many things that I watch and don't finish, because I like to give it a fair shake. You know, I mean, if the first episode sucks, there's nothing that says it can't pick up by episode three. But this never does. It's just failure after failure with some like interesting music, and occasionally a cool monster pops up, but it's like, it's not enough to be anything cohesive or anything fun. I mean, it's an anthology series, so every story is different. And like the last episode ties back into the first episode, but there's no relevance to it at all. Mm-hmm. Basically, in the first episode, a girl abandons her child. And in the last episode, a guy loses his child, and like they meet each other, and they're like, well, which one's the worst person? And that's the whole point of the episode. It's fucking stupid.
Yeah, but, first episode, and I was kind of bummed and bored. So.
The other thing that's crazy is that there's so many like top notch actors in the show. Like Mike Coulter is the guy I was referencing in episode 8. I love Mike Coulter. The girl was the lead in Booksmart. She was really good. There's the brother from Ozarks. He's one of the lead characters. Like there's a lot of like solid actors from other shows in this series, but it doesn't matter how good they are or how well the monsters are done or how cool the music is. It's just not enough to like make it worth watching because all the stories suck so much.
Have you watched Evil yet with Mike Coulter?
I have not. I've heard a lot of good things though. Yeah. It's
terrible.
It's terrible.
Yeah, it's boring.
Well, it's a TV.
I've heard people comparing it to the Exorcist TV series, which really piqued my interest because I love that series.
So season one of The Exorcist was really good. I watched a couple of episodes of Evil here and there, and my God, it's just teeth-pulling boring.
Well, don't watch Monsterland. You will die.
Yeah.
You know what I did watch today? I watched the first two episodes of the new season of Fargo. I enjoyed it. There's some weird musical choices in that, but of course it's the Coen brothers producing it.
Nothing to do with that show, by the way.
The executive produced it, supposedly.
Only because they made the movie. They have zero creative influences on that show. It's mainly the guy who made... what's the name of that fucking Legion television show? I forget his name.
Oh, is it?
I just started watching that one as well.
Legion?
Yeah,
I need to go back and finish that. We started it, but we never finished it.
I'm about 5 or 6 episodes in. It's very strange.
Yes.
In a way that I like.
It's stranger. That's the problem.
I'm okay with that.
It's strange in a way that I like.
That's a good idea. I need to get back to that.
Is like, I kind of started watching it as like something to have on while I was working on art or something like that. You can't.
Yeah, it's not like a good show for that.
No, it is not.
I started into It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia now.
Oh, so finally.
That's what I keep defaulting back to while I'm working because I don't have to watch that one.
So I'm in season one because, you know, when I'm working, I have to have something on that I can't really pay attention to, like a horror or drama or something like that. It just would not work. So comedy shows have been great. I just rewatched season 4 of The Good Place. That show is so great.
Yeah, I'm glad that's up on Netflix now, so I can finally watch it.
Yes. Yeah, that I saw it came up. I'm like, I've got to watch it again. Man, that show gets you. But yeah.
I didn't want it to end. That was my problem.
You didn't like the end?
I didn't want it to end.
Oh, you didn't want it to end. That's right, yeah. I thought the ending was very powerful and very... It was exactly what it should have been, I think.
Yeah, totally. It was a good show.
But we'll talk about that after Dave sees it.
We started watching.
Hold on. Go ahead, Dave.
Oh, I would say we started. I'm only the first episode, but we started watching Ratched night before last, I guess.
I'm thinking about. I've never seen One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
I had to do that. I did that before the series dropped because I hadn't seen it before either.
Yeah,
but so I knew who the character was, but I hadn't seen the movie.
Right.
So I don't like the show.
What? I'm shocked. I'm shocked that George doesn't like that.
Wait, George doesn't like something? No way.
No, man. It's just a stupid excuse to tie a TV show to a good movie.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree that, like, the TV series Ratched has absolutely nothing to do with One Flew except for the name of the character. That's really the only connection.
Ratched or?
Nurse Ratched.
But okay.
One Flew of the Cuckoo's Nest is fantastic.
Yes, it was very good.
I loved it. And I actually...
Jack Nicholson movies.
I actually really enjoy Ratch, too. I'm not a huge fan of Ryan Murphy in general. Most of the stuff I've seen of his I have not liked, but he did an excellent job of making the hospital feel like the main character of the story and not Ratched. Like, it almost reminds me of The Shining, how the hotel is such an important part of the story. The hospital feels the same way. And he did a great job with cinematography and the music choices.
I'm enjoying the visuals of it a great deal.
The visuals are the best part by far. The visuals are the best part.
And if it stays that way, I'll still watch it.
I watched the episode of the show, and all I can say it's all flash and no bang.
I like the Flash well enough that I'd keep watching it, and for a while at least. But
I mean, the whole season story wise, it's comparable to any season of American Horror Story.
And I enjoy American Horror Story, and it. Even so, American Horror Story is sometimes really good and sometimes really not good, and then a whole lot of middling.
Mediocre. That's the same thing with Ratched. I think that's just Ryan Murphy's thing. He's not very good at, like, consistently being good. It's just kind of like a lot of fluctuation with a lot of middle ground. And, I mean, Ratched is the same thing. There's moments in the series that are great, and there's other moments where it's like, why are you writing this? This sucks. Mm-hmm. But then there's most of the time, it's just kind of a steady story where there's, like, you know, middling side plots going on.
Ryan Murphy, he's done all the American Horror Story, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Didn't he do Glee as well?
Yeah.
Same dude, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
The only thing he's done that I've truly enjoyed was the first season of Scream Queens. The first season of Scream Queens is fucking awesome. Everything else he's done has been okay to terrible.
He also did OJ versus the People or something.
Yes, we watched that. I like that.
Yeah, that wasn't bad.
He did Hollywood too, right? That was him? That Hollywood series show.
It was okay. I tried watching that. It was okay.
We watched through that one. I was going to ask you, George. You're wearing a Jurassic Park shirt. Did you watch the Jurassic World cartoon series?
I did. I followed Jurassic Park on subreddit, and I was really leery about watching the show to begin with. But a lot of people on the subreddit saying how good it was, so I decided to give it a chance. And the story is way better than that Jurassic Park shitty sequel that we got.
The Jurassic World sequel or Jurassic Park?
The Jurassic World sequel.
Okay.
Fuck, what the hell is that called? Not Dominion. That's the new one. Fallen Kingdom.
Yeah.
I hated that movie. But this...
tell me how you really feel.
Camp Cretaceous is a much better sequel to Jurassic World than
Fallen Kingdom. I watched the first episode. I haven't got back into it.
Yeah, the animation's really cheap and bad and stupid. But if you can get past it, the storyline's not bad.
I've been trying to catch up on some shows. I'm caught up on The Boys now. I finished episode 2 of Raised by Wolves. So
I finished the series.
I need to finish that.
It lulls in a few places, but you know, it's really Scott. It's fantastic for the
most
part.
I'm caught up on up until tonight on Lovecraft Country.
Yeah, same here. Lovecraft Country's been consistently good.
It's been weird, but in a good way.
One of the radio plays that we found just stumbled across it last night was from like the 1940s called Quiet Please, and the episodes that we were listening to are these cosmic horror stories.
Oh, wow.
And they're surprisingly fun, actually.
Nice.
So,
Quiet Please is the name of it.
Quiet Please was the name of the radio show.
Do these old radio shows they listen to? Do they have the old ads too?
Some of them do, and they're hysterical.
Like,
yeah.
The cigarette ads they used to do and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kent Cigarettes was a big one Kent Cigarettes, and you know, ads for Pontiac automobiles and ads for spark plugs.
Nice. I've been playing some video games. There's a few that I want to talk about. I've been playing this game. Do you remember Mafia?
Yeah.
Came out in like 2004. They've made a definitive edition, a totally remaster of the game. They've taken the game from ground up. Brand new cutscenes, brand new voice acting, everything about the game. It's still difficult as hell, but it's a lot more fun than the old one, and I'm really digging that. I really like that, you know, that gangster aesthetic, especially in a video game. It's a lot of fun, and apparently you can get 2 and 3. They have the remastered definitive edition, only digitally, I guess. I played a little bit of Star Wars Squadrons in PSVR tonight. Okay, Dave, when you talked about playing Doom and got nauseous right away, when I couldn't get a hold of the control, then I was doing like 360s in a TIE fighter. Mm-hmm. I was feeling it. I was like, I don't know how much of this game I can play in VR.
I've actually been playing Squadrons.
Have you?
Copies of it showed up at my house on release day in the mail.
I know how that happened.
You do?
I bet I do.
You probably are right.
And you got it by mistake.
That's not what happened.
No, it was, not on this occasion.
It was an intentionally gifted.
What do you think of it? How far are you?
So I will reiterate at the front. I don't support EA and their making of Star Wars
That's
games.
Right.
And I think they need to have Star Wars taken away from them as soon as possible. So I don't buy EA Star Wars games anymore.
Unless they're gifted.
That said, when a game shows up at my house where I get to fly around and do dogfight battles in Star Wars ships, I'm going to play it. I'm not above that. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's always fun to get in and feel like you're in the cockpit of a TIE fighter or an A-wing or something. It's fun. The game is okay so far to me. I haven't done any of the multiplayer stuff yet.
Yeah.
I'm doing the story.
That's what I'm doing, yeah.
The controls have been really hard to get wrapped around to me.
You playing on a PS4?
Yeah.
Same. I did the first mission in the TIE fighter, and then I started the second one, which you jump into in the next wing. Mm-hmm. And I had to put it down. We stopped to make dinner and get ready to record the show. But man, trying to get used to the flying, and then I was just doing like rolls and stuff, and it was like I was feeling it. And I'm like, all right, I got to stop.
Well, maybe do it without the headset for a while.
Yeah,
get the controls down, because I'm getting used to it now, and I had to switch through the controller scheme layouts until I got
I haven't played that yet.
Do that. Okay. See if you get one that feels more intuitive to you, and that'll help. Because, to start out, you just feel like you're going everywhere and have no control over what you're doing.
Yeah,
trying to navigate that.
I'm sure once you get used to it, it's going to become like second nature to play through it. That's when I'll probably play some of the multiplayer. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, and that's primarily what this thing is going to be for, and it's why I was gifted a copy to begin with, was so that we could do the multiplayer stuff. But I haven't tried that out yet, so I don't know how well it goes. I'm playing through the story to, one, just to see it, because I'm interested in it, but also primarily just to give myself the practice of trying to figure out how to do it. It's really weird, because I've played other flight, you know, dogfight games.
Yeah.
You know, there was an element to, like, in the old Battlefront 2 on PlayStation 2. Though dogfights in that one were awesome. I loved the space battles in that.
There's elements of this that are arcadey as well as super intense, like, flight simulator type of games, you know?
Well, and that's the thing, is, like, as I'm playing it, I'm like, oh yeah, in like Battlefront 2, you didn't have any real control over your throttle except for brief little moves you could do. You were just constantly moving forwards at a set speed. In this one,
you have
controlling
complete
throttle
control
is a major part of how you play the game.
Yeah.
And so it's just another dimension of movement that you have to keep track of. It's not easy to get the navigation of these ships down, but it is fun.
Did you rename your characters?
No, I don't. No, I don't think so.
I tried. I tried to use Azhadigan again. They wouldn't let me.
It's fun, but overall, I'd say so far it's okay.
Yeah, I want to play through more and try to get better used to the controls, but it still seems weird. You shouldn't have to be that way to have fun in a game. You know what I mean?
I mean, I understand why, and it's because they're trying to give you so much control over it that it's going to have to be difficult. And they're trying to do that on a PlayStation 4 controller. I actually think that, like, if I was playing it on PC and I had like a joystick
and stuff like that,
a flight stick and a separate like throttle stick and everything, I think it would probably be easier.
Yeah, I agree. Trying
for PS4.
What's they do up? Make one for PS4.
Yeah, they make a throttle stick and a flight stick for PS4.
That might be easier then to do it that way.
I did rename my characters because you can rename both the Empire and the Rebel. So I made my Empire guy Ziltoid the Omniscient, and my Rebel guy is Captain Spectacular.
Okay.
I do want to talk about Crash 4. I picked that up as well. Oh my God, man. That game is so fucking good. It's everything you want in a platformer game. It's a brand new game, brand new developer. They basically said after Crash 3, those other games didn't really happen, so this is a direct sequel. It's difficult, but it's so much fun. I used to love those Crash games, and I'm playing it on the easier mode, but even the easier mode is still difficult. So if you're
I haven't played a Crash game since like the second one, probably.
And it looks really good.
Crash Bandicoot, right?
Yeah, Crash Bandicoot.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think I played one since the Sega Genesis days.
It was a PlayStation thing.
Yeah, PS1.
Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's how much I remember. It was along those days when I had all those systems and hooked up to my little tube TV.
Yeah, they did the trilogy, like a remastered version of the 1, 2, and 3 trilogy like a couple years ago. And that's where, I guess, the people are like, oh, yeah, it sold like fucking bananas. So people, you know, like, oh, let's make a new one. And I'm enjoying it. There's a game that I want to talk about. I think it's on PS4 and Xbox, but I have it on the Switch called Hades. Have you heard about this game yet?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so it's made by the same company that did Bastion and Transistor, I believe. And it's a roguelike game, but... Do you ever play Dead Cells? It reminds me of Dead Cells, which is a 2D scroller game that was but this is an over the top game. What's really cool about it is you're supposed to die in this game a lot. That's what the purpose of roguelike games are.
Yeah, roguelike games, you die a lot.
You die a lot. And most of them, when you die, you just power up or you get a better weapon, blah, blah, blah. And there's not much of a story here. This game, every time you die, the story is going to progress a little bit more. And it's you fighting, you're the son of Satan, you're Hades. And there's all these other gods, and you run into, you know, Ares and all these different, you know, Hermes and all these different people. It's a really fun game. It's the gameplay, the action is really smooth and fluid. You just want to keep on getting further and further and further and further into the game. And that's, I think, my favorite thing about it is the storyline progresses every time that you die, which is totally different for these type of games, you know?
The only thing I've seen that's similar to that, because a lot of roguelike games, the name itself comes from an old computer game called Rogue, and it was basically just like a one-shot dungeon crawler game.
Yeah.
And whenever you died and then you started up a game, it was a new game every time you played it. The levels were randomly generated. And all that kind of stuff. And so that's where that name comes from. But there was another game came out several years back.
Rogue Legacy.
Rogue Legacy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That kind of had that same format
that brought it to the forefront a little bit.
That dying was part of the progression of the game.
Yeah.
And I liked how their justification for it was that these are all the descendants. Like, these are all children.
Right. I remember
so,
that.
your first character goes and dies.
This
and
one is not
one
that.
One of their children comes.
Right, I remember that.
And that their abilities, like their stats and abilities, are based on the characters that came prior to them.
And this one, every time you die, you wake up in a pool of blood. So, like an actual swimming, like a actual pool of blood. You come out of the blood. I'm like, all right, that's cool. I'm down. It's a lot of fun. I definitely recommend that game. It's a very addictive game. It's something I just, you know, especially on a Switch, it's something that you can just play a couple of rounds and progress a little bit more and then turn off, you're done, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I like roguelike games, so
I do too.
I'll check that out.
All right, who's ready to talk about what horror movies I should watch?
All of them.
All right.
All of them.
Let's take a quick break. We'll get right into it.
Balls.
Damn it.
Chocolate balls, since it's horror time.
Chocolate balls?
Suck on my chocolate salty balls.
Exactly where I was going with it.
So, we're going to talk about what horror movies I should watch this Halloween season, or all of October, basically, and then, you know, whenever.
Yeah.
I'll admit...
Halloween is year-round. It's just October is when it ramps up. Let's...
Yeah, that's fair.
Ministry said Halloween is every day, so that's true.
Halloween's an idea, man. You just live it.
You live it, man. Right. I'll admit, I have not seen a lot of horror movies. The most of ones that I've seen growing up are more like slasher style films. Like I saw, you know, the Halloween movies, Friday the 13th. Big fan of Nightmare on Elm Street movies, Child's Play, all that kind of stuff. But I'm sure there's some I've missed in that style too.
Well, I mean, there's slashers are kind of what they are. I mean, there's some good ones that are kind of off the beaten path. Like The Burning is pretty good. George and I were joking about Sleepaway Camp. It's such a weird, strange slasher movie. Maniac is an okay one. Like there's good. Maniac Cop is pretty fun. Like there's good slashers that exist, but like slashers are a genre all to themselves. They're not really horror movies,
right?
There's way more to it because slashers are usually very formulaic. They usually don't do a lot of things that are interesting or surprising. They're kind of predictable, but they can still be a lot of fun. You know, you just know what you're getting.
I agree with that. You always know what you're getting, but if it's done well, you're gonna have a good time.
But if we're
just,
gonna talk about
if you're a virgin, just don't have sex in the woods. That's I know that much.
I mean that's a good rule of thumb. I've got a list of about 35, 40 movies.
Oh my God.
That I love all of these and I think they're all good and worth your time to watch.
Okay.
Some of them you may have even seen, some of them you maybe have not.
Maybe some of them I may have never even
some
heard
of them
of.
George is gonna disagree with me on.
that I look forward to.
Yeah, so, but I mean, how do you want to do this? Do you want me to just run down my list, or
it's up to you guys at this point? I mean, I'm letting the inmates run the asylum now.
Okay, well,
shit.
The modern.
Well, I didn't realize that we were doing this, so I didn't make a list. So I'll just be providing running commentary then. So,
well, we'll start with something that Dave is probably well versed in. The modern studio that makes some of the most prolific horror movies of our day and age is A24. And, you know, The Witch is one you absolutely have to watch.
I have not seen The Witch. It's on my watch list.
Oh,
so it's
on Amazon for free.
I know. I've made a special like follow list on Amazon or on all the platforms this week. And that is on there.
All right. Dave and I both hold it in high regard. I don't know where he puts it in his list of movies, but it's like a top 10 all-time movie for me.
It feels like I've seen the first few minutes because isn't a girl has a baby and they go to the woods or something?
Yes, that does happen.
Yeah. Okay.
So I've seen that part of it.
That's not the first 10 minutes, though.
No, it's not the first 10 minutes.
Okay.
It's about a family that gets... it's in old New England. So they all speak with an accent, which is kind of, it takes a little bit of getting used to. So you got to pay attention to the movie and watch it in a quiet room, like Dave said before.
I enjoyed it with subtitles. It made it way more enjoyable for me.
You can also do that. Subtitles are fine. But it's about a family who gets ostracized by their Christian community because their beliefs are slightly different. And they move out on their own on the edge of this forest. And the forest has a witch living in it and all kinds of stuff happens.
Cool.
So I'll say that a lot of this movie is not a horror story for modern Americans living in the 21st century. It's a movie for modern Americans to watch. The horror story is the horror story of the family. That a lot of what they're experiencing is very much wrapped up in the religious and cultural context in which they're living and what all of the witchcraft lore of the age was. Yeah. And so I love that shit, that witchcraft lore and everything. And so they're doing all of this stuff in the movie, what people of the time would have considered scary about witches. And the devil and your soul and this kind of stuff. So view the movie from the character's point of view.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do all three of you guys like this movie? Agree on it?
I didn't love it the first time around, but by the second time around, I watched it. I really enjoyed it for what it was.
Okay. It's also magnificently beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
It is just a delight to look at. It's the whole movie is shot with natural lighting, except for a couple of shots. But by and large, the movie is all natural lighting. So like when the family is sitting down to dinner in the dark, the only lighting is from the candles and the fireplace. Nice. And so because the movie's so quiet and chilling and the atmosphere is important, like
it's atmospheric horror.
It's like black metal, the movie.
Yeah, it really is. It's atmospheric horror, the entire movie. I mean, it's less about the characters so much and more about what's going on. Mm. But I mean, the characters play an important role too, especially the family. I mean, they are the central aspect of everything.
I think this is actually top of my list. I have been meaning to watch it for sure. What's next?
Okay, well, moving along with A24, obviously the next one we have to mention is Hereditary. It's a very polarizing movie because typically people that love Hereditary hate Midsommar, and people that love Midsommar hate Hereditary.
I haven't seen either of those yet.
Hereditary is great, Dave. Watch it.
Hereditary is mediocre, and Midsommar is fucking amazing.
Midsommar is shit, and he doesn't want to admit to it.
See, this is what I'm talking about. And it's not just me and George. The entirety of the internet feels this way.
So should I watch Hereditary and Midsommar?
Yes, yeah, you have to watch both.
Watch both.
It'll give you an opinion one way or the other on which one you prefer.
How about this? Since Dave has never seen these, we can watch these and then we can discuss them as people have never seen it before.
Sure.
With super fans, with you guys.
Dave is never going to be a Midsommar camp because he seems like the kind of guy who would enjoy that.
You said yeah. I am.
Yeah.
I think you're going to think Midsommar is one of the most beautiful movies you've ever watched in your life, Dave. It's amazing.
It's not that.
It's so good. George just doesn't understand it.
I understand it perfectly. I just don't find it all that amazing.
Well, anyways, Hereditary, it's about how do I even explain
an
it?
Hour
it's
and
about
a half.
A family drama about going through loss. Yes. In heavy occult satanic shit.
But all the heavy occult satanic shit happens at the end, and it's...
Okay, don't spoil it.
I've lived through half of that. I've never had any heavy occult Satan shit, but...
The problem with Hereditary is that it feels like two movies. The first half of the movie is really, really good. It's building up to this thing that's going to be super awesome and really fucked up. You know it's going to be super fucked up. And then you hit the turning point where it becomes a completely different movie. And when it becomes a completely different movie, knowing that it's going to be full of satanic shit, and you think it's going to be really cool, it just sort of falls flat for me. The ending didn't do the turn justice, and I wish they had continued on the path that they started out on. Midsommar is one cohesive movie that's one plot line from beginning to end. It doesn't have any like interruptions like the first one does. but it's also not action packed. It's a very slow burn movie.
Okay.
I like slow burn movies.
It's extremely slow burn.
I see George shaking his head, so I probably will like it.
A lot of the movie, the characters are on drugs, but they're not like, they're not even aware they're being drugged half the time. It's like they're on LSD and stuff. And while they're going through it, they start seeing things and you start imagining yourself as the character and sort of seeing things through their eyes. There's some very interesting stuff that happens in Midsummer.
One of the things I want to say real quick is, as I'm going through and watching these, if you are a member of the Metal Geek Society on Facebook, I will comment after I watch these movies and give my immediate feedback, I guess. So as I'm watching through some of the stuff, I'll go there and make comments and stuff like that.
There's tons and tons of other good A24 movies. The Ghost Story is pretty good. What's the one with the mineshaft and the boy? George, you remember the name of that one?
The mineshaft?
Yeah, the hole in the ground. The hole in the ground's pretty good.
That one.
There's lots of good A24 movies. They do a lot of independent stuff, but they also seem to have more of a focus on horror than other studios do these days.
Okay.
But these are the three flagship titles for the studio at this point. These are the ones that get the most conversation. These are the ones that everybody talks about. So these are the three that I
and if they made a Funko Pop out of The Witch, you got to watch it, right?
I would say The Witch is the best of all of them. Okay. You know, but Midsummer, I think you'll enjoy as well.
Be ready to fall in love with Black Phillip.
Yeah. All right. I'm ready.
All right. So let's move on from A24. Let's just talk about Lovecraftian type horror.
Not a lot of great Lovecraftian horror movies out there.
Color Out of Space is
haven't seen it yet.
The best that's another one that's been
is it
on
streaming
my
anywhere?
And John,
it's on Hulu, I think.
Is it? Okay.
For streaming?
That's probably going to be on my list to watch soon because I really wanted to see this one.
I loved it, George.
The movie is more of a comedy more than anything else, but it's definitely the most Lovecraftian movie I've ever seen.
It's definitely the most Lovecraftian movie I've ever seen, but there is definitely some horror elements. I mean, a lot of body horror stuff, especially towards the end. And
it's really graphic. Don't get me wrong. It's just what I would consider like a...
It's not scary. It's just very interesting to watch. I guess that's probably the best way to put it. But I mean, what movies are scary? It's very hard to find a movie that's actually scary.
Not streaming on Hulu.
It was? I thought it was.
Mm. It might be on Prime. It's out there somewhere.
It's on Shudder. That's why I watch it. It's a Shudder exclusive.
I don't have Shudder, but can't you get like a free month or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're doing a month trial for anybody
also,
who wants
it. There's this new thing now called AMC Plus that includes Shudder, which I think you get for free for 7 days.
Mm. Okay. What is that?
It has everything that AMC owns, which is like the Sundance Channel, AMC.
Oh, I was thinking of the theaters.
No, the AMC TV channel.
I was like, what? I don't want to go to the theater.
No. It's a TV channel, like a streaming.
Yeah. Okay.
Color Out of Space is great.
It's fun.
I think that has kind of mass appeal. Anybody that watches it will like it. You'll both like it for sure. Moving on, Reanimator. Have you seen Reanimator, Carrie?
Yes.
I don't know if I have or not.
Funny, it's scary. Let's be fair.
What's that?
More of a comedy.
Oh, I mean, it's definitely.
It's a horror comedy.
I like those. Know?
Yeah.
But,
it's,
I mean.
It almost plays as a straight horror movie, but it's funny. And I feel like that's intentional. Like, I don't feel like it's funny on accident. I feel like this was on purpose, but they play it straight enough. I don't know. All those movies are fucking weird.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty great. It's fun.
It's a lot of fun. It's a very fun movie. Okay. You'll like it for sure, Carrie. Reanimator is a classic.
Yeah, I know. I've just never seen it.
To make it even more fun, you should do like a double feature with Reanimator and then Frighteners, so you can see like the starkness of the acting of that dude, because he's in Reanimator and he's also in the Frighteners, and it's a lot of fun. They're both
which guy?
The main actor, I forget his name.
Jeffrey Combs.
Yes,
Jeffrey Combs.
The Frighteners is one of my favorite
Combs
movies.
Jeffrey Combs is actually a pretty good actor. Yeah. I like him.
Yeah, The Frighteners is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah,
I haven't seen that in a while, but I should rewatch that.
Reanimator.
Okay.
Yeah. If you like The Frighteners, you'll probably like Reanimator.
It's a lot gorier, that's for sure.
I can deal with some gore.
I'm fairly sure you've seen this, The Thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
One of my favorites.
Yeah. It is one of my favorites, actually.
Have you seen The Thing prequel?
Yeah, I watched it with Donovan two nights ago.
The Thing prequel?
Yeah, it's also titled The Thing. It came out in, like, 2011, I think.
Are you talking about
It's got Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Yeah. I've seen it.
It is a prequel. It's the story of the Norwegian camp where they first unearthed the ice.
Right.
It's a prequel / soft reboot.
Yeah, I've seen that. I actually, that was on a few months ago, I watched it again.
It's very slow, and you don't care about any of the characters.
Yeah,
but all the monster effects are great.
Yeah.
Like, it's if you're watching it just for the monsters, it's cool.
Except towards the end when she falls down into the ship, it gets a little...
Yeah, I mean, that's a terrible way to end it. I agree. Yeah. But I mean, the cool part is when the credits roll, it plays the music from the original.
And it has Mary Elizabeth Winstead in it, so that's always a plus. You know,
who doesn't love Mary Elizabeth Winstead? So, The Thing. You definitely got to see it if you haven't seen it.
One of my favorites, actually.
Yeah, one of my favorites, too. Let's see, the next one, In the Mouth of Madness.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Wait.
Yes.
Is that
Sam Neill?
Is that Sam? I thought it was Scott Bakula in that movie?
Sam Neill's in there.
Neill's in it.
Okay.
No, you're thinking of Lord of Illusions,
yes.
I think.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
Carrie. In the Mouth of Madness, me and my wife were just talking about that one last night, and we're probably going to pull our copy of it out.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
It fits in. It is Lovecraftian and Stephen King, which I mean, Stephen King is very Lovecraftian. He was highly influenced, but
yeah.
Does he hug any dinosaurs in it?
No.
Damn it.
But he does go and watch himself in a movie.
The movie gets weird.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll dig it in.
It's very weird. But it's very it's apocalyptic, and he's basically an investigator for this publisher who publishes this author named Sutter Kane, who is your like Stephen King figure in the movie, and he's gone missing, and. They find him, as I recall, in the fictional town that he writes about in his books.
Yep.
Like the town appears and they go there.
It's a lot more weird.
And then it gets even weirder.
It's such a strange movie, but it's a great Lovecraftian movie.
80s, 90s?
90s.
90s.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like a good one. One of the last good John Carpenter movies before he made like Ghost of Mars.
Is it John Carpenter?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. All right. I'll definitely watch it. What's next?
Let's see. The Void.
I was going to say, if you didn't bring up The Void, I was going to.
I don't. I know The Mist.
Or on Netflix?
It should be somewhere. It was on Netflix for a while. So The Void is... it's kind of a strange movie where people get trapped at a hospital. And there's this guy who's trying to open this interdimensional door and like all this crazy shit's going on and there's a cult involved.
There's cultists, yeah.
I've seen The Cube. I hope it's not The Cube.
It's not. No, it's kind of like Hellraiser meets Lovecraft.
Mm. Yeah, very much so.
It's very much Hellraiser meets Lovecraft. It's a very dark and fun movie and it has some of the best like creature effects I've seen since The Thing.
That's really one of the main reasons I'd say to watch it is like the story is... okay,
yeah,
but visually it's a lot of fun and they were doing mostly practical effects through the movie.
Oh,
which
cool.
Is great.
I love practical effects. Yeah.
Cool. Let's see, I think the last there's a couple more Lovecraftian ones. Where'd it go?
I don't know.
The Ritual. Have you seen the Ritual Dave or George?
Is that the one on Netflix?
That's the one on Netflix with the four. There's four friends who
I haven't watched that one yet.
They decide to go on a camping trip, and when they go out into the woods, they discover this place, or one of them discovers this place where the rules of reality don't really apply. And he starts trying to investigate it to figure out what's going on. His friends start doing it too. And it kind of leads them down this incredibly weird and dark hole. It's not a great movie, but it's a good one. And the creature that shows up at the end is super interesting.
It's like a British movie, right?
Yeah.
You know what amazed me about you, Justin, is you remember the plot for every fucking movie you've ever seen. And you're just like, well, here's the plot. I'm like, wow.
I watched a lot of movies. I mean, I learned it from doing comics. I mean, I had to read 100 comics a week and remember everything about them. So
true,
it's a skill set. It's a skill set. Let's see. Spring.
We're past spring. We're in October now, man.
It's by the same guys that made The Endless. The Endless is also one you can include.
Spring. And then The Endless.
It's about like a vampire story, right? A dude goes to Paris and falls in love with a vampire.
Not really. This guy goes on vacation to Italy, and he meets this woman who
he remembers
a creature.
I just saw the trailer.
She's not really a vampire. She's more like a
succubus, or
that's probably the closest approximation. It's like kind of a weird vampire succubus mermaid thing. But basically,
does he get mermaided? Mermaider?
He does not get mermaided, but a lot of other people do. It's a great movie. It's one that's very much lesser known. It's almost a Lovecraftian love story, which there's not anything else out there that's like that, really.
The Shape of Water, maybe.
Maybe there's definitely elements there.
A horror story, but okay.
But I think you'd like
Spring.
Spring is a pretty fun love story that has tons and tons of Lovecraftian elements. Oh. And then the last one, which is really kind of a weird action movie slash horror movie slash Lovecraftian movie, Event Horizon.
Oh, I was wondering if you were going to talk about that.
It's another Sam Neill movie.
It is another Sam Neill movie.
I feel like I've seen that.
It's a great movie.
The one where it's a science fiction horror movie where the ship is this experimental warp drive spaceship that disappears.
Okay.
And then reappears some 7 years later or something like that. And they can't get a response from it. So they send the team out to investigate the ship and find out what happened. And Sam Neill is the guy who designed the warp engine that was driving the thing. Mm. And they get to the ship and the ship is essentially possessed. And a bunch of wild shit happens from that point.
It's like one of my favorite sci-fi horror movies, right next to Alien.
It's pretty high up there for me too. It's a fantastic movie. I mean, basically they sort of open a portal to hell, kind of, and just everybody starts seeing crazy shit and start going nuts, and it's very Lovecraftian as well as being action packed and
cool.
If you like Aliens,
it's also very not in an action way at all, but just in backstory, it's a kind of Doom as well, because that was the plot in the original Doom games as well, is that they were experimenting with teleportation technology, and it turns out that the dimension that you pass through to do teleportation is hell, and so.
And on a side note, there was two different cuts of this movie. They made one that movie theaters, the test groups that went and saw it, they said it was too horrific to ever be seen in real theaters. So then the studios got involved and made a much more acceptable version that they released. And they thought they had lost the footage from the previous version, but they recently found it. Later this year, Scream Factory is going to be releasing a director's cut edition.
I had no idea.
Minutes reinserted.
Awesome. I know. I think that stuff was lost forever. I thought that they could never find that stuff.
I didn't even know that there was another cut of the movie.
They found it last month, and Scream Factory is working on putting it together. But I am so excited to get my hands on it and watch it. So,
do you know if it's going to be like a 4K version?
It's like the Snyder Cut.
I don't know for sure. I don't know all the details. I just read the article about them finding it last month. So I just thought it was definitely worth mentioning.
I only have the DVD version that came out in the 90s. So
yeah, which is still pretty good.
I mean, it's great. Don't get me wrong. But it's I'm just curious of what was so horrific that made people say, no, you can't put that in there.
I mean, it was the 90s.
Oh, I know. I feel like I have to see this now.
Yeah.
I definitely have to see it. Anyways, that pretty much does it for Lovecraftian type stuff.
I love how you have everything in sections here.
Well, I don't really. I just have a list of like 40 movies, but I'm trying to break them down in ways that work.
Okay.
I guess we can go on to...
What kind of do you like, Carrie? Do you like slasher movies? Do you like
zombies? I do. I like zombie movies. I do like some slasher stuff. I don't like porn gore and that type of stuff just to be gory for no reason.
I didn't put any of that stuff on the list because I knew you weren't into that.
Cabin in the Woods? Not Cabin in the Woods.
I like Cabin in the Woods.
No, what's that? Fuck? Cabin Fever is what I'm thinking of.
I don't know if I ever saw that. Some of that stuff, it's okay.
Basically a body horror movie.
It's a body
horror. Like Saw, I've never seen any of the Saw movies because of that.
Okay, the first Saw movie is great if you go in not knowing anything about it. But all the sequels are just gore. They're just for the sake of people that want to watch.
Should I watch
die.
The first one?
I think the first one's worth watching. If you don't know anything about it, I think the first one's worth watching.
I know a little bit about it. I don't know, you know, just from context clues and stuff like that.
I actually think Saw 2 is pretty good. It gets a bad rap, but I think it's a pretty good follow-up to what they did in the first one.
But you'd agree Saw 1 is the best of the group.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Yeah. Saw 1 is great. It's a great concept from beginning to end.
Yeah, okay. I would say watch Saw 1 if you've never seen it.
I've never seen Saw.
I'm going to stop breaking these up into sections, and I'm just going to go down what's left on the list. Do it. So number one, Suspiria.
The new one or the old one?
They're both pretty great, but I would watch Dario Argento's original first.
I never made it through Argento's one. It's absolutely gaudy to look at. It is painful to watch.
Everything
movies are like that, Dave.
Everything is super bright colors, and like all the music is very like wee kind of sounds
goblin esque. If you like any of those goblin music, he put them in.
I like some of that stuff for sure. I don't think I ever made it through that movie though.
You should revisit it and give it a chance, Dave. The ending is something that is akin to The Witch, and I think you'll really love it.
Okay,
can I add a movie to my list?
No.
You mentioned Crawl earlier. I want to see Crawl. I've never seen that.
Crawl's fine. Crawl actually reminds me a lot of Jaws. Like it's kind of in the same.
It's kind of like a modern Jaws. Yeah,
it's like a modern Jaws. It's fun. It's a fun movie. It's not one of the best movies I've ever seen, but it's fun.
Retarded baby.
Yeah. The new Suspiria is pretty good too, but the original's much better. Cool. I think.
I've only seen the original. I haven't seen the new one yet.
Let's see. Next, I have Cooties. Have you seen Cooties?
Oh my god, it's so good! It's Cooties? So funny.
Cooties.
I
with what the hell's his name? Come on,
Rainn Wilson.
It's got Rainn Wilson?
Elijah Wood and Rainn Wilson in it. It's a horror comedy.
Oh, that's up my alley then.
It's about children who become zombies, and then all the adults have to try to survive them.
No, I've never seen this.
It's great.
That sounds great.
It's super fun. It's such a fun movie.
It's on Hulu, if I'm not mistaken.
It should be on one of them.
If it's not on Hulu, it's on Amazon.
What's the James Gunn movie about? Was it Slither?
There is a James Gunn movie named Slither.
I've been wanting to watch that. I've never seen that.
It's okay.
I like
it. George likes it a lot more than I do, but it's okay.
I think it's funny. And
I'm putting it on my list.
That's fine.
If you're interested in horror comedy, yes. I'd throw out Tucker and Dale versus the Evil.
I've seen that many times.
I've seen it.
Okay, you've seen that
one.
Yeah, okay,
for sure.
That one's good.
I love Tyler Labine, and then Alan Tudyk. Both of those, yeah. I mean, yeah.
It's a good one.
I hate that on Netflix, though, when you're scrolling through and they show Tucker and Dale, but the cover that they use to try to convince you to watch it is a girl in a bikini. I'm like, what the fuck?
They should show the guy running into the wood chipper. Yes. Like, what else is there?
another good horror comedy, not so much a more on the comedy, but Horns. Have you ever seen Horns?
I have not seen it. I've been wanting to.
It's a good one. I agree with George on that.
That's not
Daniel
a license.
Radcliffe.
Because I just watched, what was the name of that? Guns Akimbo a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
I like that.
Fun.
That was fun.
That was okay. I mean, it's Samara Weaving, too.
Yes.
Can't really go wrong with her.
No, you cannot.
Let's see. The next thing I have on my list is Black Christmas.
Never seen it.
The most recent version with the all girl cast and the sorority and everything, it's an interesting take on it, but it's not the best. I would say watch either the original or the one that was made in the early 2000s. They're both pretty good. They're very different.
You know, I've never seen another one I wanted to add to my list is Krampus. I've never seen Krampus.
That's good.
Don't bother. It's okay.
What? It's fun.
But it's not like if you're making a list of the best horror movies, I would not put Krampus anywhere near it.
What about Trick or Treat?
fun.
Trick or Treat's on the list. You need to see Trick or Treat.
Okay. You're talking about the one with Ozzy or the one?
No. Not the 80s Ozzy one. Trick or Treat.
It's a lot of fun.
Dude, yeah. Trick or Treat is awesome. I don't care what anyone says. It's about a demon rock star who kills people. Come on.
The original one?
I
remember the soundtrack was pretty awesome.
Yeah, you should watch Trick or Treat. It's on my list.
It's a lot of fun. Is that streaming anywhere?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so. Let's see.
Or rent it.
The Raven. It's a really fantastic Vincent Price movie. We watched that one last year for our 31 days. It's a great one.
Nevermore?
House on Hot. It's somewhat based on Edgar Allan Poe's poems.
Okay.
But it's not just about the Raven. It's about a lot more than that. House on Haunted Hill.
Oh, great you got to see House on Haunted Hill.
House on Haunted Hill is one of his best. It's great.
The original, like the Vincent Price one.
I not think the, I've not seen the that. Jeffrey Rush one. I have seen that one. I've seen both of them, actually.
Okay.
I've seen Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson's cock? What?
Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer?
No, you're thinking of you're thinking of The Haunting, George.
Oh, The Haunting. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So are you saying Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer is a horror movie?
It's kind of like Silence of the Lambs, sort of.
Okay. It falls in there.
Can I say something?
What?
I've never seen Silence of the Lambs all the way through.
You should watch it.
Yeah, it's a classic. It's a great movie.
Especially the last, 40 minutes are great.
It was one of the things, I've seen bits and pieces, and it turned into the whole pop culture phenomenon, and people were quoting it all the time. I'm like, I don't really want to see it. You know what I mean?
It's on Netflix.
You should.
It's good to watch it.
Fright Night, the original.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. It's my favorite Halloween movie.
Fright Night's great. I don't know if you've seen that. Let the right One In.
Yep, we actually have that.
The Swedish one.
The Swedish the original. One, yes.
We have that on DVD here.
I don't think the American one's that bad.
The American one isn't bad, but the Swedish one is better.
Yeah, I agree on that.
I agree with Dave.
I agree with you, but I don't think it's bad by any means.
Okay, a movie that is going to completely floor you at how good it is for being as low budget as it is, The Loved Ones.
Never heard of that.
Is that the Australian one?
That's the Australian one.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one. I watched that 2 years ago. That was pretty good.
You know what I should? I need to rewatch.
I was bored of how good it is.
What is it about?
It's about.
Yeah, we'll kind of spoil it.
Okay, fine. I got you.
Yeah, I'd go in blind. I wouldn't tell you anything about it. Just
don't worry. Just enjoy.
I need to rewatch. Yeah. Speaking of, we need to rewatch Deathgasm.
Deathgasm is good.
Deathgasm's good.
That's another good horror comedy.
Yeah.
Another foreign film that I've been kind of touting as like the best foreign horror film I've ever seen, The Wailing.
Oh, that was pretty good. I watched that.
Whaling?
No. Oh. They're not killing whales. They're crying. The Wailing, like Wailing Spectres.
Oh. It's pretty good. I like that a lot.
It's a Korean horror film. It's another one you're better off going in not knowing much about because it's really hard to explain anyways, but
yeah, if you're not paying attention, you'll definitely miss it.
What about One Cut of the Dead?
One Cut of the Dead is super fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been meaning to watch that.
Same last year, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. I was drunk for some of it, but yes.
The Entity? You seen The Entity?
I have not.
So this one's based on one of the most well-known documented ghost stories that ever actually happened. It happened in the 70s, and like this woman over and over again had ghost hunters come to her house. She went to psychologists. And she was continuously assaulted. Her and her children were continuously assaulted by this ghost or this entity, even to the point where she felt like she was being raped by it at one point. It's a very jarring film, but it's also very horrific. And the fact that it's based on a true story makes it even more interesting to watch. It doesn't feel like a snuff film or anything like that. It's not gross to watch, but it's just very jarring. So it's a good one.
I've never heard of that.
That's The Entity. And then The Bad Seed, that was another black and white horror film we saw last year about this little girl who appears to be just the sweetest little girl, whatever, but she's actually like a sociopath in training and she kills people and gets away with it and blames it on the gardener and like the guy from her apartment and all this stuff. And then eventually her parents figure out what she really is and has to confront her and deal with it. It's a greatly underrated and not very well known black and white horror film. It's great. They Live, kind of a horror movie, kind of an action movie. I'm sure you've seen it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I don't count that as a horror movie, but that's just me.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of one of the ones that I'm not sure about on this list. The Gate.
Oh, wait, the one from the 80s?
Yeah, I know that's one of George's favorites.
Yeah, I love
it. Which one is that?
Basically, this kid, he is digging a hole and he...
Oh, it was that one that we watched, George, with... we watched that with Trick or Treat and Deathgasm. We did that whole...
That's right. It was part of that cool feature thing that we watched.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was really excited to see it, and you're all like, "I've never heard of this movie," and I was like, "What?" Yeah.
It's a horror heavy metal movie, so it's fun. Probably the most recent movie on my list, Possessor. It just got released to theaters. I'm sure it'll be on demand pretty soon. It's Brandon Cronenberg's first movie. His dad's well known for lots of body horror and stuff, yeah. And he's basically carried over everything he learned from his dad. Man, this movie is brutal. It is.
I'm sure his dad was in there, like, I think it needs to be gory.
Oh my god, it is brutal and tension filmed and horrific and jarring in the worst possible ways, and it sticks with you. Like, I watched this movie and I'm still thinking about it 3 weeks later. It's probably the best movie I've seen this year. Mondo released posters and soundtrack for it on Wednesday, and I bought both. Like, that's how much I liked it. It's about a woman who's an assassin. It kind of feels like Assassin's Creed meets horror. It's about this woman who's an assassin, and basically she transfers her consciousness into other people and then uses them as the vessels for her assassinations. But her grip on reality starts slipping, and horrific shenanigans ensue. That's all I'm going to tell you about it.
Not hilarious, but
it's horrific. Not out yet. So, it should be coming to like VOD probably the end of this month or next month.
It's in theaters now. Went out Friday in theaters. So I know some drive-ins have it. Maybe you want to go see it there, but it's great. Next one on the list, The Rise of Leslie Vernon.
No.
That's a fun horror comedy movie.
The Rise of Leslie Vernon.
Yeah, you like slashers and you like horror comedy, you'll definitely like The Rise of Leslie Vernon. It's about this guy who wants to become a slasher, and this documentary crew that's following him around as he prepares for his night of slaying.
I thought and, that was something else.
Oh, it's called The Rise of Leslie Vernon.
Okay. I thought
that's
it was
that's a fun concept. I didn't know about this one.
It's like a documentary crew's following him around, right?
A documentary crew's following him around. He goes
Behind the Mask is what it's called. It's
Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon. That's the full title. He's right. He goes and he like interviews Jason Voorhees and Freddy Krueger, and he's asking them for like opinions and like the best way to make kills and like all this stuff.
It's really funny.
It's really funny. And then the ending, it's something kind of out of left field, and it's just a really enjoyable horror movie. It's not like anything else you've ever seen.
Cool.
So you definitely need to see that one, Carrie. Next on the list is Green Room.
That
Green Room is cool.
Yeah, that's on my want to watch list.
That's on Netflix too.
Yeah, that's Patrick Stewart, right?
Yeah,
he's in there. Yeah, he's the leader of the Nazis. Yeah, it's got what's his name who died too? I can't think of his name.
Anton Yelchin.
Yeah, Anton Yelchin's in there.
Oh yeah.
It's basically a punk rock band. Their show gets canceled. They're broke. They have nothing to do. They get invited to go and perform at this club in the middle of nowhere. They get there and they find out it's a Nazi club. And then the Nazis are all crazy and everything. They kind of get booed off stage, but they're waiting to get rowdy.
Because they play Nazi punks fuck off. Yeah.
Nice.
They do. But they stumble upon a murder that happened in the green room. And then the Nazis don't want to let them leave. So it's a night of them being terrified by the Nazis. And it's
horrific.
It's pretty horrific.
Okay.
It's a great movie. 13 Ghosts.
Have you seen that? I think what? I have. Yeah. Yeah.
With Matthew Lillard.
I love that movie.
Oh my God. That movie's terrible.
Then I'd probably like it.
You probably like it. Yeah.
I think I've seen it. It sounds very familiar.
Like 1990s bad.
All right. An American Werewolf in London?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure. It's great.
It's great. Lost Boys?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
One of the best vampire movies.
Monster Squad.
Also up there. Carrie still has my copy.
I do have your copy. I could watch it.
Have you seen Us yet?
Yes. I did see Us.
Us is really good. Train to Busan?
I have not seen that.
That's good,
I know what
man.
It's about. I just haven't seen it.
It's a very interesting take on zombies. Another Korean horror film. It's great. Peninsula wasn't as good. I finally got around to watching that a few days ago. It still does some interesting things, but it's not nearly as good as the original.
Peninsula's not streaming anywhere, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
No. And then the last movie I have on my list is It Follows, which I love.
Oh, fuck
it. It Follows is great.
I have not seen that.
It Follows is a terrible movie.
Yeah, I think
It Follows is stupid as shit.
George and I both love it, so I think
everybody fucking loves that movie, and so we were super stoked to watch it and sat down. That movie sucks. It's a bad
movie. Is that the one where the ghost tries to have sex with people or something like that?
Yeah.
That's not what it
is. Way that you pass the ghost on is through sexual congress. And so the thing won't kill you, it'll kill them first, but then it always works its way back to you.
Is the
thing.
It follows.
And I feel like it's some ham-fisted metaphor for STDs. It's fucking stupid. And the soundtrack is half-baked. They do this weird fucking...
Take the soundtrack.
The soundtrack could have been good. The composer himself said it wasn't done. That what ended up going into the movie was basically his demo tape. And
it's a very polarizing movie.
You can
fucking tell
because the music's bad.
It sounds like a very polarizing film right now.
It's not just George. I've heard a lot of people, or not just Dave. I mean, I've seen a lot of people really hate this movie.
I haven't. I've seen nothing but like universal raving reviews for this movie, and I think it's fucking abysmal. It's nowhere near as smart as it thinks it is. And it's nowhere near as smart as everybody else seems to think it is. It's not that fucking good.
Well, Kerry will just have to watch it and decide for himself and let us know.
I was so pissed off at that movie because everybody fucking loved it. It was like every horror blog and just like independent people and, you know, everything was raving about this movie.
I'll tell you, Erica hates it, too. She does not understand that I like that movie at all. She hates it completely. She feels just like you, Dave. So,
OK,
that's something.
Dave, do you have any?
I was going to point out, as far as like low budget horror, and I bring this one up because it's on Netflix right now. Again, it came back a couple months ago. Not necessarily like one of the best horror movies ever, but it's an example of low budget horror done pretty well. Mm-hmm. Is Session 9?
I love Session 9.
Yeah.
So I watched this for the first time. I don't know. I want to say like 4 or 5 months ago, right when the beginning of the pandemic was happening. And I was like, oh, man, this is really cool. They worked a low budget movie at a really cool location.
Yeah.
But like you could tell they're really using high end professional video equipment on really cheap cameras. And it was just something about the look of the film just kept bugging me. And then also the plot just never got there. The plot was just terrible. But other than that, yeah, it was all right.
Other than the way they shot it in the plot,
I think it's interesting.
Quality.
I think it's fun.
The image looks crappy.
It's so different from any other horror movie that it's worth watching just for that reason. George looks at things differently than Dave and I do because George is, you know, he wants to be a filmmaker and he understands how directors do things more so than I do. So he watches it through a different lens, you know. But I don't know if that stuff will bother. I don't know if that stuff will bother you.
No pun
the way
intended.
It bothers him. It's a good movie. It's definitely worth watching once, and there's some really fucked up stuff in there.
Okay. Cool.
Meh.
Eh.
I had another one in mind too.
Carrie, have you seen Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Yes.
Have you seen Texas Chainsaw Massacre number 2?
I don't know.
I haven't seen that one.
I'm just gonna put that out there.
I seen the new one that had like Matthew McConaughey in it.
It's,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's called New Generation. That's the one I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've seen part of that.
Oh, no. You need to watch it, sir. It's great.
You see Scream, right?
Scream, yeah. I like the Scream movies.
All right.
I recently finally saw the, what was it, the fourth or fifth one, whatever they, the latest one they had.
They did a fourth one?
I was surprised
one?
They even made one.
I didn't even know they made one. I don't remember that.
Yeah, they made a fifth one, I think.
Jesus, what? Yeah. I remember seeing the first one in the theaters.
I mean, they're about to release Halloween 11, so it's really not that surprising they're still making slasher movies because people enjoy them. But I mean, most, like, it's really hit or miss because like the new Halloween I thought was great. But like the new Chucky is a piece of shit. So
I didn't want to see the new Chucky movie. That looked stupid.
It was so bad. It was a cool concept, letting him control technology and stuff. But it just fell apart.
Is that the Mark Hamill one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. I didn't hate it.
It's not good.
It looks not good.
You know what my favorite Chucky movie is? I'm going to say it. What is that?
Chucky 2.
No, Bride of Chucky.
I like Bride of Chucky.
I thought it was that perfect blend of horror comedy, you know?
Well, Bride and Seed are kind of their own animals.
I don't know if I've seen Seed.
They make them really fun, and they're different. And it, like, gives you hope that the series is going to continue and do interesting and fun themes.
Yeah, it doesn't.
But then Cult comes out, and the what was the last one? Curse and Cult are just fucking abominations to watch. They're terrible.
No.
They're so bad.
So what do you think, Gary? You think you got enough there to get started?
Do you have a couple for me, sir?
I mean, Justin kind of went through the most important ones, I think. He didn't mention Attack the Block, which is a really great one. And
is that really horror, though? Not really.
It's a sci-fi horror.
Yeah.
Anyone who asks, it's a science fiction horror that takes place in London.
Right.
So. Have you seen Invasion of the Body Snatchers?
Yes.
I mean,
Oh yeah.
The Donald Sutherland one.
I love that movie. The original one. Yeah.
When I was in film school, I had to take an appreciation of film class, which I loved. I wish it was more than one semester. And my professor loved horror movies. So we saw a lot of horror movies, which is great. But we also saw like Casablanca and like Raging Bull and shit like that too. But it was fun going to class and just watching a movie and then having to do a quick report on it, you know? That's fine. Yeah. Better than Mass.
Have you seen Scanners?
I don't remember. If I did, it was when I was really much younger.
Mm.
I don't remember. I know what it is about, but
do you enjoy zombie movies?
I do.
One that's an interesting take on zombie movies. It's not really a horror movie, but it's a take on the zombie genre is Fido.
I actually just bought that on DVD 2 days ago. It's in our list for this month.
So have you watched it before?
No, it's coming out. We're going to watch it in a couple days.
Okay. I'd be curious to hear what your feedback is on it. I think it's a really fun movie.
Erica loves it. It's one of her favorite zombie movies. So, you know, that's why we got it. But, I've never seen it.
Isn't like the zombies been kept as a pet or something
along those lines? So it's kind of like if it's like 1950s America, the zombie apocalypse happened and then was defeated, and so now your corporate America in the 1950s is now marketing zombies. They're like tame. You can have one, you can keep one as a servant in your house. That kind of a thing.
Okay. So, who's in it?
So Carrie Ann Moss is in it. The Fido is Billy Connolly.
That's what I was thinking. That sounds very familiar. Now I just never seen it, but I've seen a trailer for it.
It's good. It's
he's hilarious. I love that dude.
Mm. Another pretty good zombie movie is The Night Eats the World.
I've never heard of that.
It's a French film, I think. Basically, this guy goes to a party, wakes up the next day, and like all his friends are gone. And while he was sleeping, zombies overran everything. So, I mean, that's kind of cliched, been done before. But there's a lot of interesting things in the way he deals with being the lone survivor of the apocalypse that make it fun and interesting.
Is there a new Netflix series along the line, hashtag something?
Hashtag Alive.
Hashtag Alive.
Talking about it earlier.
That was pretty fun too. Okay.
I saw that when I was scrolling through Netflix, I saw like the little trailer for it.
problem with most zombie movies is they're not doing anything original. Most of them are doing shit that happens in every zombie movie. It's the ones that we've talked about on here that do some very original things with their characters or the way they cope. But I mean, zombie movies are kind of hard to like
zombie video games
be original in, because it's all the same sort of thing. I mean, if you watch Walking Dead, like you've seen the human side of it.
Yeah.
If you've seen, you know, Resident Evil or 30 days, 28 days later or whatever, you've seen like the fast moving zombies and like other creature type things. And, you know, if you've seen the classic, like Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead, you've seen like slow moving zombies and how people choose to survive. It's all basically like one or two people or a group of people end up hiding and barricading themselves and trying to survive until somebody makes a mistake, and then they try to recover from that.
Right.
Either they all die or they don't. Like, the formula for zombie movies is so basic and simple, but it's really like the good ones, the standout ones, are the ones where people do interesting and innovative things.
Cool. Well, so. I appreciate this, guy. There's a lot of movies to go through. I don't know if I'm going to get through all of these, but I do have my top picks that I'm going to try to get through.
I got some honorable mentions really quick, Jerry.
Okay. Yeah, let's go for it, dude.
Especially if you get the Shudder service, I highly recommend getting Shudder. It's really cheap. I think it's like $5.99 a month.
I feel like this is a thing that I really should have been on a long time ago.
There's a couple of exclusives on there that I think people definitely need to check out, just to even try to do the 7-day trial. There's this Lovecraftian imaginary friend horror film called Daniel Isn't Real, and it is so, so good. And I don't think any people give it enough attention. There's this other one that just came out recently called Host is what it was called, and it was it's one of those Screen Life movies that was filmed during the pandemic, so it's all a Zoom screen.
Oh yeah.
And it's about these group of girls who are hanging out via Zoom, and they decide they want to do like an online seance, and shit ensues. And it's genuinely, I thought it was pretty good, especially for one of those Screen Life horror movies. It did not leave Catherine feeling well. She couldn't sleep very well that night. So I would say it was a job well done as far as that goes.
Nice.
And there was something else. My brain went bleh. Oh, Summer of 84. That's also on there.
That's an all right one.
I really like that movie. It kind of gets an underhand because it was filmed before Stranger Things. And so a lot of Stranger Things and that have a lot of interplay. The only thing that I don't like about Summer of 84 is the ending. I think the ending's way too much of a bummer. And there's no silver lining in the movie. It's just all doom and gloom.
Okay.
But it's really good. Killer soundtrack, good actors. It's the same people who made Turbo Kid.
Turbo Kid's a good one if you've never seen it.
I have not seen that yet.
You haven't seen Turbo Kid? Oh,
I
my
have not.
God.
It's got
I know it's
elements.
One of your favorite movies.
I would include it on the list because it definitely has horror
now.
Elements.
Just stop the show and go watch it.
Okay,
and
we'll see you guys later.
If you're looking for a more lighthearted kind of respite from all this dark, depraved shit,
sure.
Check out Warm Bodies.
Warm Bodies?
It's a zombie movie. It's a love story with zombies.
This sounds familiar.
It came out not too long ago. Like, what, the early 2000s, I would say? Or 2010?
No, it wasn't that long ago. It was like 6 or 7 years ago.
Oh.
Warm Bodies. Okay.
I remember seeing the trailer. It had like Coldplay in the trailer or something like that. That's why I probably thought it came out a long time ago.
All right, guys. Well, again, I appreciate it. I have a long list to go through here. I'm going to try to see what I can. I guess I can tweet about it, and then I can also put it in the Metal Geek Society. So if you haven't joined that, just search for the Metal Geek Society on the Facebooks. And everybody, have a happy Halloween. And have a horror-filled week, I guess. That sounds really convincing, doesn't it?
Don't say that. I mean, I had a bunch of bad shit happen this
Oh, that's true.
Week. I don't,
have a good week, then.
Have a good week.
We do...
Stay alive out there, everybody.
Stay alive. Stay safe and alive. We do have George Hates Metal coming up, and then we have What's Tickling Our Geeks. We'll be right back. And George hates metal. We're at everybody's favorite part of the week. I know George looks forward to it every time.
I don't think anyone looks forward to this.
We all do. So the band that I picked out for you this week was a band called Arcanum Sanctum. I was sent the promo. They've been around for a while. It's a Russian band. Their description is dedicated to the Soviet science fiction, with lyrics based on the works of the Soviet sci-fi writers and music significantly influenced by Soviet sci-fi and movie soundtracks. There you go. The album is mixed and mastered by Dan Swano, legendary Dan Swano, who George has asked me a minute ago who the fuck that was. So he has some learning to do. I'll watch all these horror movies if you go listen to all Dan Swano.
I don't know who that is.
Like I said, now you got to learn. Got some learnings to do. Yeah, I think you'd really dig them, for real.
Okay.
So let's get your opinion on the song that we heard from Arcanum Sanctum, which was Ad Astra. What was your opinion? Let's go with you first, George.
It was pretty good. It was all right. I probably listened a little bit more, see how I feel about it, I guess. The next song that we listened to was Pack Rat,
yep.
Which kind of like, yeah, it was okay.
There's a little bit of a synth wave mixed into it.
That would be the Russian in them coming out, I guess.
Maybe. Huh? That 80s sci-fi horror movie soundtracks.
Yeah, it was all right.
Cool. Hey, I found something you might get into.
Maybe.
What about you, Dave?
I'm going to listen to this some more. It's cool. It's very Insomnium, Omnium Gatherum.
Yes.
Feel. And I like that. I'd only heard a little bit of what you were talking about of including the synthwave elements, mm-hmm. but that's interesting. Those are fun soundscapes. I'm not like a huge synthwave fan, yeah. but I do like the sounds of synthwave music. I like that.
It was funny just a minute ago when we're listening to this. Your comment, Dave, you're like, oh, I know why Carrie likes this.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, this is like right on my alley.
Yep.
It's really good, high quality, you know, mellow deaths, really beautiful harmonies, deep growls. Everything about this is just something that I'm really into. And I go back to this album a lot recently. It's really good.
Very like textured, processed guitar sounds, mm-hmm. but they don't sound, it's still very, there's a warmth to it.
Yeah. There's a beautiful a harmonic quality to the music. It's hard to put to describe. I'm not a guitar player or anything. I just play drums, so not a real musician. But as something about
at least you admit it.
That's true. I just carry shit for other people. What do you think about this band, Justin?
Well, I'm pretty sure I listened to them before. I have them in my worth listening to later folder. So you know. I remember the album because I remember the album art. I feel like they were kind of inconsistent. Like some songs were great and others were just kind of average. So I don't know where I would put it in my best of list. But I did enjoy the one we just listened to. That was a good one.
So yeah, this album came out the end of August of this year, August 28th.
Yeah, like I said, I'm pretty sure I heard it before. So I'll just have to give it some more time, I guess. Same as Dave.
Have you guys heard the new Enslaved album yet?
Utgard. I listened to it last night.
Okay, let me get your first. Was it the first time? Only your first time listening?
Yeah, I've listened to it just the once.
Okay, what's your first gut opinion on it?
I don't have a real strong opinion on it. It's just I listened to it and it was an Enslaved album, and I'm gonna have to digest it some more. So
fair enough.
I was not blown away by it.
Fair enough.
So
I've listened to it.
I can't remember what song it is. It was one of the singles they put out prior. Uh-huh. When I listened to just that single when it dropped, I did enjoy it. I don't have I know they've had some more lineup changes and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm fine with all of that.
There's a new drummer who actually does some vocals on this album.
I think he sounds fine. I know it's a little bit different, but I don't think it's out of place. It doesn't bother me. It's just I haven't gotten my teeth into this one yet. So
I think the theme you're talking about Urjotin. So it's like it has like that weird there's like a, I can't place it, but it's like an 80s like melody to it. Very like minimalistic 80s sounding, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I really am digging this album. I like one of the songs when they first put the single out and the drummer, I guess, was singing on it and he had a very different vocal style, was not digging it at all. I'm like, oh, this is not right. But listening to the album in its full context, it really does work. I'm a huge fan of this album.
I think I need more time with it. Like, I've listened to it a couple times, and yes, I like it. But Uwata also released an album last week, and I keep going back.
I liked that one.
I keep going back to the Uwata album.
Okay,
not
so
the Enslaved album.
I know it's sort of polarizing right now because some people don't like the direction they're going. It's going away a little bit more from what the black metal they were doing. It's very progressive
you
on
mean
this album.
Enslaved is changing their sound. My
Can you
God.
Believe it? I really dig every album this band has ever done. So you mentioned the Uwata. I heard one of the songs on one of my like release radar playlists one day, and there was like this weird cavernous vocal style. I don't remember what song it was. And
it's not on every song. It's only on a couple.
I know.
I think it suits them perfectly.
And it threw me off.
The sounds that they're the stuff they're doing on this album specifically, I think it suits it perfectly.
It threw me off. So we listened to this album in the car yesterday. We were driving around running errands. I really, really dig this album in its entirety. That one song that's the problem sometimes when you hear one song from a preview of an album, it doesn't really give you the whole overall view of it. And it sort of threw me off was that one vocal style, but I think it also
matters how you listen too. Cause the first time I heard it, I said that some of the songs sounded hollow and kind of cavernous.
Yeah.
But I was listening on my headphones, but then when I heard it in my car,
yeah,
I felt like the effect was just amplified and just, it sounded so much better on like a louder speaker system.
These guys, they're going into a way like what, you know, Behemoth is doing. Just, they're taking black metal style of what they were originally, like completely different, and just doing what they want to do. And that's, I appreciate that. And it's another band that's very polarizing. People don't like what they're doing. You know what I mean?
Well, the strange thing is that on this album, like some of the songs actually seem kind of like upbeat and positive, yeah, which is really unusual for black metal at all. But I think the sound worked for them. Like they've changed considerably since their last album, but it's great in my opinion.
I know. And then a lot of people complain about their divas and all this kind of stuff too, but it's not that. I don't think it's that.
Whatever.
I was talking to my wife about
it. If you're listening to black metal at all, you have to expect a certain amount of pageantry.
Yes.
And like that kind of shit just comes with the territory. Like Gyria is my favorite fucking band of this year. And like those guys are the Slipknot of fucking black metal. Like they have so much shit they do that's like, you know, to make themselves stand out in a crowd full of people wearing costumes.
So wait, you said Uwata has a reputation for being divas? Is that what you were saying?
Well, that's a lot of people have been saying that, like, in a bunch of different groups I follow, like, oh, well, they didn't want to perform because they didn't have their full stage set up or whatever. I'm like, okay, that makes perfect sense because they're doing an aesthetic. They're doing,
yeah.
You don't want to see Slayer doing a half-ass show. You don't want to see Behemoth doing a half-ass show. It's part of who the band is.
It's part of the show.
Exactly.
I saw Uwata upstairs at White Oak last year. Yeah. And that's a small stage.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what they normally do. But like what their aesthetic, their whole presentation was very, very minimalistic, but it was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember when Dave first talked about that, I loved the way he described it. Cause he was like, the lights went down and then these four figures appeared like specters out of nothingness.
Yeah.
Cause and just started playing the music.
The house lights went out, the stage lights went out. So it was like almost completely pitch black.
Where did you see them at?
Upstairs at White Oak Music Hall.
Was this something, what's that word they used to use? Concert?
Yeah, at a concert.
The concert.
Yeah, one of those.
I remember those.
But yeah, the like everything went dark and in the dark, they're pumping in the fog machine. They have they had a guy whose only job was to run the fog machine the whole show. And so he fills the stage with the fog. And then the only lights they used while they were performed were they were like construction lights that were at ground level.
Oh, just pointing up at him.
And so and there was some pointing up from the front, and I think they had two behind as well. So when the lights came on, it was all fog and mist and these like ring wraith looking motherfuckers. Nice. And that was it. That was it. That was their look through the whole show, but it was so good. And then when they hit the last note of the set, it was a hard stop and everything went dark and they were gone. And it was like, that was fucking cool.
That sounds cool, actually. Very cool.
And they were cool. Like I talked to a couple of them too. They were nice. They didn't strike me as like divas in that way.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand them not wanting to go on if like their set isn't set up.
I totally see that.
Most good black metal musicians have a certain amount of pageantry, like I said, and like they want that to be a part of their show. They want to incorporate that, and if they can't, it kind of defeats the purpose. Like
it's like you don't want to see Slayer doing a stripped down show. You know what I mean? You want the full pageantry. You want the blood flowing and the lights and the everything going on.
The Behemoth show with Nurgle and company and their workout gear is not going to be the same fucking show.
You don't want to see that. So, I mean, I definitely am digging this new album.
Yeah, me too.
It's different in a good way, I think. It's different in a way where bands, I like when bands can progress and try different things and not
especially when it works.
Well, especially when it works, but not be stuck into a certain pigeonhole, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And do what they want to do.
You don't want four albums that sound exactly the same.
Exactly,
You want to know it's the same band, but you want to hear different things.
So what are your opinions on this, George? Because you're not even paying attention.
Sure, why not?
All right.
FYI, guys, my battery's at like less than 10%, so right. I may vanish.
We're about to wrap it up. So we have one more thing. We're going to do What's Tickling Our Geeks. George, the Synth of the Year segment you created, why don't you start?
It's not my segment per se. It's the segment that belongs to the show.
You created it, so it's on your shoulders now.
Oh, okay.
Do good. All
right. What's tickling my geek? I really don't have anything like pressing at the moment. I'm looking forward to a much needed break from work.
No. Does that count? That counts, yeah.
Yeah, and I got some posters coming in. A Mondo poster came in this weekend. I'm getting ready to flatten that and hang that up. And
flatten that poster, dude.
Yeah.
Get into it.
And that's about it. Really nothing.
Which poster is it?
It's the Star Wars poster that came out during Comic-Con.
Oh, cool.
Martin Anson one?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah. It was the one that they did like a time release on. Everyone could have one if they bought it by Sunday or whatever.
Yeah, I wanted the foil of that very badly, but I missed out on it.
Yeah, I wanted the foil on that one very badly as well. But
Mondo made me prove I was not a robot, and it was a very inopportune time to prove I was not a robot.
You should do that after you paid for it, is what they should do.
What about you, Justin? What's tickling your geek?
Well, I've been getting a lot of posters in. I've actually, I picked up a few of my grails over the past couple weeks. I got my Burgos Terminator 2, which I absolutely love, and I got my Ernest Scared Stupid from Matt Ryan Tobin, which
Jesus Christ, man,
I've loved since the minute I very first saw it. And then I won a drawing for Paul Mann's The Mummy poster, which is
I
want
to see a picture of that.
I'll have to send you one. It's like the hottest poster right now. Everybody wants it.
Is it the original Mummy or the Brendan Fraser The Mummy?
The Brendan Fraser Mummy.
I love that movie.
It's such a cool poster. To hear it. Yeah, I'll send you a picture in a little while. But I'm excited for all those. And then I've got a ton of other posters. I redecorated the whole house. I cleaned everything. My water heater broke. I got a brand new water heater. So I got hot water. I got air conditioning. My new bed.
You're living the good life, man.
I got a new bed frame. And because it's a memory foam bed, we have those slat, like the frame we have now is shit. It's like it's supposed to be a 1,000-pound rated frame. We bought it at Walmart for like $100. It broke super easy. And it sticks out too far. I've hit my knee on it like 1,000 times. So I bought like a really nice heavy duty frame. But the problem is the slats are too far apart. So I got a, I have a memory foam mattress. It won't sit right on it because of the slats. So I ordered these bunky boards is what they're called.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They're basically like boards you put underneath the mattress to fill in so it doesn't sink into those holes. Mm. It was supposed to come September 6th. Somehow the Amazon driver screwed up and delivered me a fridge door for a Samsung refrigerator instead of my boards. And then told me that they were out of stock and they wouldn't be able to replace them until October 6th. So those are supposed to come Tuesday, and then I can finally get my new bed and finally sleep in it. So
wow.
I'm excited for that. Basically, my house is finally coming together.
I feel sorry for the guy with the refrigerator who doesn't have a door.
He has some boards that he has no idea what to do with. No, but they're gonna pick the refrigerator door back up. I'm sure he's just as annoyed about it as I am. But
yeah, right.
It's nice to have all this stuff finally taken care of and done. So I'm just kind of enjoying being at home and having my home stop falling apart.
There you go. That's you're a homeowner, so it happens, man.
Yeah.
I'm on that train with you this week. What about you, Dave? What's tickling your geek?
It is yesterday was opening day for the Texas Renaissance Festival.
That's true.
And this is probably some of the nicest opening weekend of any festival I've ever done. It is usually swelteringly hot right now, and it's been fairly pleasant. And I am not there,
mm-hmm.
and I won't be this season.
Are you going to go with a spectator this year at all?
Undecided, leaning towards no.
Okay.
But yeah, probably not, but I don't know, may head out there and just have a look at it sometime, but I doubt that I will. Instead, what I'm tickled about is that I have an October for the first time in a while as a result.
True. He's on the show in October.
Cause what?
You're on the show this October.
Yeah. I'm usually so busy right now, and it's usually the time of year that I am most looking forward to. The end of summer is my time. When summer ends and fall begins and it's Halloween season, I feel like I come more alive. Summer beats me down.
Well, we got a full list of horror movies to watch now, dude.
So I'm excited that I'll have an October and that the weather is nice. And I mean, I don't like that I'm not making money, but if I was there, I wouldn't be making any money right now either. So
there's nobody there.
Yeah. So
I haven't seen anybody's like social media feeds on about the show, but I don't know.
It's just not time yet.
So tickling my geek. I got a couple books recently that I'm interested in reading. I got the new Dave Mustaine book, and I got the Rob Halford autobiography this week, which was actually autographed from this found this website or this company called Premier Collectibles, and they sell autographed books. So I got the new Tenacious D Post-Apocalypto signed by them, and then I got the new Rob Halford book. And what they do is not they I think they're called plates. And people like Will Bozarts, who's like really into collecting, you know, autographs, what they do is they sign like these stickers, these prefix stickers, and they just put the sticker in the book. So they don't have to sign each book. They just sign the sticker. Much easier for people to do it that way. But it's still, they come with a certificate of authenticity and all that. Pretty cool.
That's cool. I've seen them advertised. I considered getting some stuff from them too.
So I totally recommend them. It was like the book is just the price of the book. So like it was like $30 for the Rob Halford book and like $4.95 shipping. Not a big deal.
Yeah, it's
and
not bad.
They came quick. I mean, because that Rob Halford book came out on the 30th of September, and I received it a couple days ago.
Cool. So
I definitely recommend that company. Not sponsors, by the way. Not yet. I did drink some Liquid Death water, which is pretty good.
Did you sell your soul to do it?
I did sell my soul, and I'm going to have to order my free case.
Nice.
But you got the vinyl, so the vinyl is awesome.
I did buy the vinyl. Yeah. I bought the vinyl because the soundtrack's pretty great. All the complaints.
It, yeah. We talked about him on the last show, but it's on Spotify, and it's so great. Go listen to it. It's hilarious.
Yeah, it's fun.
You know what else is on Spotify?
Our show?
Exactly. Good. Good for jumping on that segue with me. We are on Spotify. We are also on Amazon Music now, which is really cool. So if you have an Alexa app, all you have to do is say, play Metal Geeks, and it will play. Gotta be careful because I have one in the room. We are on Apple Music. We're on Amazon. We're on Stitcher. We're on any kind of app that you use to download your podcast. We're available. Just search for Metal Geeks or MSRcast. We're all over the internet. We have MetalGeeks.net, which we got back, which I'm super happy for. We have Metal Geeks Podcast.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so somehow I went on, this is a long story short, I went on to our account through GoDaddy, and it was available for me just to reclaim. Didn't have to do anything, didn't have to pay anything, got it back. Super happy about that. So you can go to MetalGeeks.net, MetalGeeksPodcast.com, or MSRcast.com. It's all the same place. Takes you to, and I'm still reworking the website too. I need some new graphics, maybe. I just haven't got around to everything. But Justin's over here, like, going all these virtual backgrounds. You're on a, like, a new set or something now? Where are you at?
I don't know.
You can find us on the internet, of course, at Metal Geeks on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and again, social media, or all the social medias. Find us on Facebook, join the Metal Geek Society. It's growing stronger every day, and it's been a lot of fun posting in there and just posting memes and just talking to everybody. A lot of fun.
It's a good group, except that Matt Ryan guy. I'm not sure about him.
Yeah. If you're listening to Matt, man. I'm joking, Matt. Justin, I think Matt's the only other person in the world that I know that can compete with you on how many new metal releases he listens to.
Okay.
I bet you he listens to more than you do.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. I listen to a lot, but I'm sure there are people that do more than me.
Since your computer's about to die, let people know where they can find you.
You can find me at mindfudgecomedy.com. That's George's and my show with our friend Andy. Although we haven't put out an episode in a while, there will be some new ones coming in the new year. George and I are hard at work at Speak No Evil. Check out the first three issues at graybearcomics.com. That's graybearcomics.com. Issue 4 is in the pipeline and will be coming very soon. Other than that, you can follow me on Twitter as @comicaljc or Instagram. And also check out my Spotify playlist in the Metal Geeks community page.
Yeah, we also have those on the show notes for each episode, too.
Sweet.
Available where? Where's that website?
Which website?
Which one? Where can they go? Which website can they go to find the show notes for each episode?
MetalGeeks.net.
There you go. Thank you.
That's one of them.
That's one of them. What about you, George? Where can we find you?
You can find me at George Tripsis on all the social media. But more importantly, like Justin said, Speak No Evil is well under its way to be back in full force. Issue 4 is in the pipe, and we're also working on 5. So be sure to check us out at graybearcomics.com.
That's what else has been tickling my geek. I've been writing a lot lately, and I've been having a lot of fun. I'm excited for what's coming.
Looking forward to that. And Dave, what about you, sir?
Red Viking Dave on your favorite social media feed thing.
TikTok?
Maybe soon. I don't know. We'll see.
There you go. We haven't made the TikTok jump yet, but I don't know. I don't know if we quite fit there yet.
I don't think our audience is there.
You should...
I think we lost.
We lost him. All right,
Justin. Well,
he had something prolific and important to say, and we lost him.
Universe turned him down.
That's basically right. The universe didn't want us to know. Before I do forget, I do want to say follow ESONetwork.com, where you can find all the cool shows, including us, that make up the network. You can also subscribe to that feed on all your favorite podcatchers as well. So thanks again to those guys. And I think that about wraps it up. Anything else you guys want to talk about?
No.
Just keep it metal.
Oh, I can do that. What else?
Keep it geeky.
All right, I can do that too.
And keep it Halloween-y.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks to listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net.
Transmission commencing.
This is Wookiee Radio.
Translated for the Wookiee American.
I like that Wookiee.
Your hosts, Ken, Derek, and Mike, bring you the latest news and commentary from the far reaches of the galaxy.
Hold it. Hold it. I said hold it.
Subscribe today on iTunes and Stitcher.
I just assumed he's a Wookiee.
Start listening today, and remember,
the Force will be with you, always.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.